They've been an inspiration to me and an encouragement to me. And now we have the opportunity to do something we don't often have opportunity to do, and that is to launch them out into the mission field. What a blessing. What a blessing to have observed them. They came here from Cedarville University, their first Sunday here. They said, you know, we're excited about what God's doing here at FBC, and yet we want you to know that we're anticipating going into missions one day. And here it is, 3 years later, they're heading to Ethiopia. And so they've been so involved with our Ignite ministry. Dan has been a deacon, and it just shows you how they just jumped in, and we have loved them. They've loved us. And so now we would like to have them come and say some words. This is their last Sunday, so they'll tell you a little bit about what they're doing, and then we'll have a prayer of commissioning.
Our last Sunday. It's bittersweet. Well, we are Dan and Rachel, and 3 years ago, God called us to step out in faith and start pursuing missions. And I'm so excited that today, you know, marks our first real step in that journey where we're leaving Troy and heading to Boston and then from there to Ethiopia. Friday, I got news that we are far enough along in our funding and our partnership that Wycliffe has allowed us to start purchasing our plane tickets. So just praise God for what He has done. I could stand here forever and share story after story of God's faithfulness. But I just want to thank you guys. God has placed people in our lives for a long time who have encouraged us, who have stepped out in faith on their own to help us, whether it's through prayer or through financial support and partnership, and in a slew of other creative ways to make this possible. And it's just so exciting, and we want to give God the glory for that. I do want to do something that I didn't do in the first service. I want to try to take a picture with you all here. So we're going to, I'll tell you when to smile. Oh, here we go. Dale, shimmy in a little. There we go. And one, two, three. Thank you for humoring me. We also do have a couple of photos out on the desk of us, if you want to stick it on your fridge. And we want to take as many photos with you guys so we can take those with us and remember our church family here. I want to share one other thing that Wycliffe told us and helping us prepare to move. They said one of the biggest reasons for success when you settle someplace new is directly correlated to how well you were settled in the previous location. And, you know, if we had left 2 years ago, yeah, I'm not sure, you know, we would have been leaving any place special. But in the last 3 years, God's timing is incredible. It is so bittersweet to leave this place. We call First Baptist Church home. We call Troy home. And that is exciting because I know God is set a very high standard in our lives of what we expect out of the next church we settle in. And in every place we go, the people we surround ourselves with, you guys have set the bar high for what we look for in a church and in people. So thank you. Thank you so much.
With that, we would like the pastors and deacons to come forward. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture. It says, "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them all off." And again, what a privilege. We don't get to do this often, but to know that they're tried and true. They've been examined as to their fit and call for this ministry. And They've gone through the rigors of interviews and so on here, as well as with Wycliffe. And so we send them out. We launch them without reservation. And so we're excited about that. And so we want you to pray with us as well. So I'd like for you to stand with us and have Dan and Rachel kneel before you and before the Lord. And then we're going to place hands on them and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're humbled by your grace. Father, as we stand before you, as Dan and Rachel kneel before you, before this congregation, I thank you for their example of humility, again, as a measure of your grace. Father, to think that they've been such a blessing to us, and now as we launch them into ministry in Ethiopia, we know that they're going to be a blessing to so many others. Thank you, Father, that you have burdened their heart to take the message of the gospel beyond where they are here and to go to the uttermost parts of the earth. And Father, we just entrust them to you. Father, again, thank you for your continual provision. Thank you that they're able to get the airfare and be ready to go. But first of all, thank you again for their ministry here, their faithfulness. And Father, as you tell us, as we're faithful in the little things, we can be entrusted with greater things. And now as we entrust them with the ministry beyond here to Ethiopia, we ask for your watch care over them, your protection upon them, your provision for them. Pray, Father, that as they minister, that they would minister through the power of your Spirit, and hearts and lives would be drawn to you. Father, that those who know you would be encouraged, that those with whom they rub shoulders and come in contact with that don't know you would turn their lives over to you in salvation through Jesus Christ. So watch over them, strengthen them, empower them to your honor and glory. Father, I pray also for their family as they're here, other friends, as well as our ministry. But Father, I pray for your hand of protection upon them, their relationship together, that they would continually focus upon you and put you at the center of their relationship. And that you would, again, protect them and guard their hearts. We entrust them to you and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's thank the Lord. Praise you. Thank you. Lord bless you. Lord bless you. You may be seated. I'll tell you, that is so exciting. And we think of our mission program, mission efforts. We have others who have gone out from here, and we rejoice and we just continue to praise God for his work as we continue the work here. And that's what we want to talk about here today. Father, thank you again for this time together. Encourage our hearts with as we stay in touch with Dan and Rachel and as they go from here. But now, as we look to you through your word, I pray that we would be set apart in our lives to minister to your glory. Help us, strengthen us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you remember the old Jimmy Stewart movie, It's a Wonderful Life? Well, it's about a real go-getter of a young man by the name of George Bailey, who through the course of events and seeming misfortune was about to take his own life when Clarence the Angel intervenes. What would life be like in Bedford Falls without George's influence, if he had never been born? And George finds out. He's given a wonderful gift to see what life would be like if he had never been born. You see, the town Bedford Falls turns out, without George's influence, to be overrun by wicked Mr. Potter. And incidentally, Bedford Falls would then be known as Pottersville. In fact, watch this. Thank you. without George's influence, the streets were fraught with wildness and wickedness and bars and nightclubs all on Main Street. However, as you watch through the movie, due to the influence of George Bailey, the town in reality was quite moral and upright. Now watch this.
Yeah! Merry Christmas, movie house! Merry Christmas, Emporium! Merry Christmas, you wonderful Billy Alone!
Hey! Merry Christmas, Mr. Potter!
All because one man stood up for that which was right. What an influence! And I think that's a great illustration of what we're talking about here today. What would your world, what would Troy or whatever city you live in, what would your neighborhood, your classroom, your workplace, what would it be like without your influence? Or might we say, what is it like because of your influence for Christ? As we continue our study through the book of Matthew, we're in the Sermon on the Mount, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're just wrapping up here Jesus' introduction. The introduction to his message were the Beatitudes, and he's wrapping this up with these few verses we're going to look at here today. And the Beatitudes are a encapsulation of Christ-likeness. So if you are living out the Beatitudes as a result of a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, in other words, you turn to God in salvation through Jesus, and then as a result of that salvation, you can live out the Beatitudes only as a result of your salvation through Jesus. As you live those out, here's the challenge here today. Take home challenge today is let others see Jesus through you. As you are living your life for God, you're living out the Beatitudes, let others see Jesus through you. Show godliness without hesitation or shame. Your life has influence. Live it out loud. Live your life out loud so that others can see your praise of God. God says that you should, in this passage, God says that you should influence your world. In a godly way, of course. And this passage here, verses 13 through 16, describes a couple metaphors that illustrate your influence upon today's world as a result of your salvation through Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at some ways in which you can influence. And so we're going to look at this first metaphor, and your influence is to be that of preservation. Preservation. Look at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. The idea here is that you and you only, you've heard the phrase, you know, you're that so-and-so is a salt of the earth kind of a guy. Only believers, you and you only are the salt of the earth. Now, as you look at some qualities of salt, you might, first of all, think that it indicates purity. It's white. It's the source of chlorine and bleach powder. So it has the idea of purification. That could be. It could be flavor. It enhances flavor. You put the salt on your meal, and in fact, that's a good thing. Believe it or not, contrary to what the world says, the doctor says, a little bit of salt is good. In fact, Job says, you know, you can't eat an egg without salt. You know, anyway, so it's a condiment. But you might say, okay, well, it also stings. It can act as an antiseptic. You know, you've heard that phrase, you know, a little bit of salt in the wound. It's like, oh, man, it burns. Why? Because it's cleaning things up. It's an antiseptic. And so it might think of, you know, we have the idea of pricking the conscience of the world. But that kind of makes them uncomfortable. So maybe there's some of that here in being the salt of the world, salt of the earth. Maybe thirst, where we instill a craving. You know, you get too much salt and you want to drink some more. So it might had the idea of instilling a craving for spiritual things. But in that day, the major quality or benefit of salt was that of preservation. Christians are a preserving influence in the world. Major quality of salt is that of preservation. And Christians, because of who you are living out in the world, you are a preserving influence in the world. John MacArthur says they retard, speaking of Christians, they retard moral and spiritual spoilage just by your presence, living life in a godly way. You take a hunk of pork and you rub salt into it, and it penetrates throughout, and it properly cures the meat. And when you do that, it can last almost indefinitely, of course, depending on your appetite. But the salt, it penetrates throughout the meat and has that preserving quality. And here in this passage here, it says, you are salt. You are not becoming salt, but as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are salt. Now, do what salt does. Salt's no good if it's just in a hunk. Salt is... my brother worked in the salt mines for a short period of time, and it's a rock. And if it's just a hunk, it just stays there. It's no good. It needs to be ground up, and then we get it in the store, all tiny little crystals and everything, and it's put in the salt shaker. But it's no good in the salt shaker. It must penetrate. And in here, the church building is kind of like a salt shaker. We come and we hear the ministry of God's word, and we encourage one another, and then we're shaken up to go out there to minister, to show Christ. So it's kind of like a salt shaker in here. This is good. It's important for us to be here to get our orders for how to go out there and to be salt. And so as a church, we must be out there. In here, yes. That's kind of a given. You come to church, you attend, and you're salt here, but not merely in here. We need to be all about showing Jesus as indispensable to our community. So your presence should point others to Jesus, to cause others to think about Jesus, to think about God, at least for the moment. I think we all need to be a little more courageous in our influence for Christ. Taking a stand, but lovingly so. We don't have to be harsh about it. We can be caring about it, but to be courageous. I mean, here's a very simple suggestion. If you're not used to doing this, or how can I do this in a very practical way? Pray in public. Now, the world says, they're kind of like, you can't do that. When you're in school or if you're in the break room, pray. Just bow your head and thank the Lord for your food. I mean, sincerely, genuinely, not God's great, God's good, and thank the Lord for food, amen. Just to get through it. Or the drop the napkin prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Father, and I pray that you'll bless this food in my body in Jesus' name. And then you look around like, is anybody watching me, No, just sincerely thank the Lord. That's a great way to, and you may become known as the guy or gal who, they always pray before their meal, Why do they do that? And maybe they'll ask you about that. You can be salt and light in a very simple way. It may be in the restaurant. I remember, as an adult, and, as kids we did this, mom and dad and everything, but as an adult we decided, as parents, okay, kids, let's hold hands. And when I first started doing it, it's kind of awkward. You bow your heads you're kind of watching for the waitress so that she doesn't interrupt you, It's like, but hey, now it's like, hey, if the waitress does interrupt, hey, she sees that we're praying. And it happens once in a while. And you don't have to be obnoxious about it. And if he or she comes up and says, oh, here's your order, and you're interrupted, you can say, oh, you don't have to say, we're praying. Thank you. Appreciate it, So here you can be salt and light in that very simple way. taking a stand, but doing so in a loving and caring way. But here's another insult, insight, and that is saltlessness. Yeah, it's not an insult. Too much salt on my mind, I guess. I don't know if I'll ever get through it now. Anyway, saltlessness is useless. Saltlessness is useless. Look at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. Jesus is pointing out what I believe to be a hypothetical situation. Salt can never become unsalty and still be salt. It is NaCl. It is sodium chloride. If it's sodium chloride, then it's salt, and salt is salty. The saltiness is the nature of salt. You are salt. But if salt could be unsalty, it's useless for the purpose for which it was designed. If you claim to be something, there must be some evidence of that claim. If you claim to be a carpenter, you're going to say, hey, look, I made this. If you claim to be a doctor, you're going to say, yeah, look at my schedule. I have all these patients. If you claim to be a potter, you're going to say, wow, yeah, I made this vase. You know, here, wow. There's going to be some evidence of that. If you're a hunter, you're going to say, yeah, I harvested that animal. If you're a Christian, there's going to be some evidence of being that Christian in this culture, in the world around you. So that when people find out or see that you're praying, they're not going to say, oh, what's that all about? No, there's going to be, wow, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because you are salt. Let nothing prevent you from acting as salt. If you're inactive, you're useless, therefore discarded, you're set on a shelf, like a hunk of salt on a shelf, or the salt shaker just in the cabinet with the doors closed. You're useless. One commentator points out, this is not speaking of loss of salvation or security, but loss of service. You're not being effective. You're not acting like salt. Salt in a salt shaker has a lot of potential. However, while it's merely sitting on the shelf in the salt shaker, it's not fulfilling the purpose for which it was created. If you know the Lord, if you're saved, then enjoy the blessing of having a godly influence upon the world around you. It's just awesome to see God work through those opportunities. Speak well of others. Speak well of the church. Speak well of the Lord to others. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. Just speak openly. Speak about God. Act godly. Be kind. Compliment as opposed to complain. Be positive as opposed to being negative. Be encouraging as opposed to criticizing. That's all a part of being salt. Speak up. In your class, talk about students, okay? And I know graduates, some of them may have already walked. Maybe you have some final exams or whatever. There's an opportunity for you to speak up for God. Speak up for creation. Science and creation do not conflict. Now, the world's view of science, you know, they have some strange views about things. But you have the opportunity to stand up in class and you say, hey, I had a question about that because I believe in a literal 24-hour day creation. And you know what? They'll probably, that's ridiculous. No, I believe it. That's what God says. It's what God says in His Word. And there's evidence to that end. And you might have to study it and find out what that evidence is. But you can graciously stand up and do that. That's a wonderful opportunity. Talk about the Ten Commandments. Talk about salvation. My little brother, the day he went home to be with the Lord as a result of a car accident, he stood up in front of his class and he said, I want you to know that I'm not afraid to die. He was given an oral report in a public school. I want you to know I'm not afraid to die. Can't remember what the report was about, but I heard what he said. And he says, I've asked Jesus to be my Savior and I'm a Christian. And then that night, he went home to be with the Lord. You think about it. I mean, he was salt. He was salt. So, speak up. How about politics? You know, don't hesitate to get involved in politics if you have that skill, that ability, that interest. At least you can pray for our politicians. I mean, think of Warren Davidson, solidly Christian man from our district right here. He loves God, and he's our representative in Washington. Pray for him. Sign up for his updates, and you can see how he's voted, and he may have some explanations on there. And pray for Warren. Pray for other representatives, senators, Congress, our judges. Pray for our president. It's a way that you can be salt and light and run for office. If you have that opportunity, plenty of local offices for which you can run. Consider that. That's a way to be salt and light, to have an influence on our culture for Christ. And then, of course, vote. That's a great way to have influence. Vote for moral, upright, godly people for these positions. Salt has a preserving influence for godliness. Be salt. Here's another metaphor here in this passage, verses 14 through 16. You and you only, that's the idea here. You and you only are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. You have the influence of illumination. The influence of illumination. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. Do with light what was intended to be done. Don't hide it. Let it shine. Many of us have heard since we were children a little song, This Little Light of Mine. Have you heard that? We're going to teach it to you today, all right? If you don't know it, you're going to learn it. And it's everybody get your light, all right? We used to tell the kids, light your light. Okay, light your light. Everybody get your, and we're going to sing it, all right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, 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 shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine, 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 shine. Hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine all over Troy. I'm going to let it shine, 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 shine. Shine all over Troy. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Here we go. One more verse. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine, 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 shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hey, how about that? Give yourself a hand. I know, Pastor Dale, don't quit your day job. But anyway, we want to look at this. We have that responsibility of letting our lights shine. Verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Your light is what you do, that of good works. Your light is what you do. It's that of good works. Now, we're talking about works of faith as outlined in the scriptures. I must hasten to say we're not talking about doing a bunch of good things so that you can earn your salvation. That's not what this is talking about. It's not talking about salvation. It's as a result of salvation, I am going to live in light of my salvation as God has indicated in His Word for me to do. I'm going to obey God with His help and with His strength. I'm going to do what God wants me to do and therefore be light, that they may see your good works and praise your Father in heaven. Your light has its source in Jesus. He is the light. We are the reflectors. He's the sun. We're the moon. We reflect the light. And, you know, it's amazing. We were out hunting just a couple weeks ago, hunting turkeys. Dark 30 in the morning, and we had a full moon. And you look around, and it was actually casting shadows. Right, Pastor Nate? I mean, Pastor Nate and I were out there. It's like, man, you can see. You almost read a book. He is the light. We reflect that light. And all your light is accomplished in His strength. Your good works, your good deeds indicates the accomplishment of a task. The world should see you as different by observing what you do. Not different in the strange way, the weird way, but different than everybody else because you're a Christian. That they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. You know, what kind of friend are you? Are you kind? Is friendship all about you? They didn't call me today. They didn't say anything to me. How about you? Are you calling your friends? Are you reaching out to your friends to be an encouragement to your friend, to care for your friend? Are you serving your friends? And it just takes thoughtfulness. It takes time to be a friend. It takes intentionality to be a friend to others, to reach out to others. I think of James chapter 2. I'm not going to turn there, but verses 15 through 17 talk about if you see a brother in need and you just say, well, bless your heart and send them on their way. What kind of faith is that? But no, you're going to, if you see a brother in need and you reach out to them, you're going to care for them. That's shine, letting your light shine. Live your life in such a way that there's no doubt that Jesus is real and He deserves the praise. You know, I'm going to live in such a way that I want others to see Jesus. You can consciously think of that. Again, not to call attention to, look at all the good things I'm doing, but to call attention to Jesus. So, the challenge here, to shine your light. Just shine your light. Your light is to be visible to all. Verse 16 again. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Your light must shine so that the world around you is able to see. Again, there are people around you that need to be saved. The scripture says, we open our eyes. The fields are white to harvest. There are people all around you. It may be at work, it may be in your neighborhood, it may be friends. They're all around you. They need to be saved. And there are people that are ready to be saved. We just need to be instrument in God's hands as His light to draw them unto Himself. As the world sees God in you, they may possibly realize that there's no way that you could be that way apart from God working. Maybe there's some of you who have, you've maybe worked at a factory or you've worked in an office or wherever it is, or maybe you were at school and you finally surrendered to Jesus. And now you have an awesome opportunity to show that Jesus makes a difference because they know what you were like before. And now they see what you're like now after Jesus. Powerful testimony of just simply letting your light shine. That they may see your good deeds and acknowledge Him. I think of flashlight, and this is right now it's my favorite flashlight. And it's so bright that Pastor Nate, when I was hunting, he said, "Turn that thing off. Turn it off. It's too bright." But, you have a flashlight and it helps show the way. So it has, this is a multifunction flashlight. Okay, you have some flashlights that they kind of have a spotlight, okay? And then they have a floodlight. You can adjust it and it gets bigger like that. And then this one's kind of neat because it can strobe. It's kind of cool, Hey, over here, it also has this too. It changes colors. See, it's got, isn't that cool? The animals aren't supposed to be able to see red, but the point here is it has light. You have different functions. You might be a floodlight, I want everybody to see. And as we minister the Word of God, that may be what we do. May have a spotlight. Maybe, a specific area of life that, we need to focus on. Give attention to. I'm trying not to shine it in your eyes. But Or it may be warning, warning. You know, we want everybody, you know, there it is. You want everybody to watch out. Don't go that way. So you can function as light in this darkened world. Now, here's another thought. And that is not only shine your light in whatever that may mean as far as warning or general information or specific information, but to shine constantly. Shine constantly. The problem with the flashlight is that the batteries go out. This is, like I said, one of my favorites. And I was going to Alaska, and I had to send all my stuff up with Wayne here this week. And he's going to take it up there for me, and this is going to go with it. And so I was up in the attic using it yesterday, and I was climbing over some boxes and everything. And it went from just really bright, all of a sudden it just like something just, and it went dimmer. And so you said, well, that flashlight's not real super bright right now. No, it's not. That's the problem with the flashlight, and that is the batteries go dead. Don't be a flashlight. Shine constantly. Shine continually. Let your light so shine. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. It's seen day and night. It's not under a bowl. That would be useless. Set it on a stand so that everybody can see. And in verse 16, in the original language, it says, the idea here is that you must let your light shine. It's not an option. It's in the imperative. It's a direct command. Let your light shine. You must do this. It's urgent. Don't put it under a bowl. That would be useless. You didn't light it, but it's your responsibility to let it shine. Guard against any obstruction. Guard against it. Hide it under a bushel. No. Don't let any sin obstruct your life. Or selfishness. Pride. Hate. Jealousy. Fear. Don't let any of those things. Covetousness. Nothing. Don't let it hide your light. Just, you know what? Even just doing your own thing. Not giving any thought or attention to God. That can obstruct your light for Jesus. People need to see the light of Jesus through you. It's urgent. Now, before you're able to function as salt and light, you must be salt and light. The stress is on being before function. You are light. A flashlight cannot shine without becoming a flashlight. What you are and you continue to be as a result of your salvation is this matter of light. You come to Christ, you become a light. Be that light. And a church, as a church, we must be out there, being salt and light in the world, the community around us. Let your light shine out there. But let me hasten to say this. Being out there doesn't mean that you don't shine in here. Shining in here, this is kind of like a training ground, a proving ground. And so you function as salt and light even in here. And again, this what we do in here is a means to out there. Let your light shine here through the ministry of FBC. This should be a safe place to shine your light. If you don't do it here, let me tell you this, you won't do it out there. What do we communicate to those who attend? What do you communicate to others, whether it's our own or others who might choose to attend? What do we communicate to them when they come here? When you come here, are you looking at coming here as a ministry, as an opportunity? Well, I'm going to church because I want my light to shine. I want to minister to others. Are you kind to one another? Do you love one another? Scripture says they'll know we are Christians by our love. Are you loving others here? This is a great opportunity to be thinking, as opposed to what am I going to get out of church today? I want to go and I want to serve God's people and anybody else who comes through those doors. I'm going to look for opportunities to minister. Do your part to create an atmosphere of love, to speak to one another in love and care and compassion. Have the idea of being solution-oriented. To have a servant's heart. You know, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And I think of those who serve faithfully here in and through FBC. I praise God for those who are serving week after week after week in our children and youth ministry. You know, they are fulfilling our vision of showing Christ as indispensable. You know, as guests arrive, they're being salt and light right here. I saw one of our men carrying one of the children to the children's area in the, helping out the family, just carrying. That's I tell you what, that's being salt and light. Helping out, communicating. That's all that just here this morning. And so there, those who are involved in this are doing just that. You know, isn't it great to hear, you know, you need to go to First Baptist Church because those people have a great children and youth program. They may not understand all about it, but they love on our kids. They care for our kids. They have a great children's area, a great youth area. They just have good programs. And those people, most of all, they love our kids. What an opportunity to show the light of Jesus. And we're building an awesome team to work with our children and youth. I encourage you to consider joining that team, as you heard here this morning. How about AV? You know, I appreciate our AV team, and they're faithful week in, week out. And I think the best compliment that can be given to an AV team is, I didn't notice. You know, I didn't notice. And in the early service this morning, the mic was popping and cracking, and they've been working on this for the last few weeks. Like, what's going on? And I'll tell you what, they have taken that seriously, and they we don't know what's going on. They try this and they try that, and lo and behold, this service. Have you heard it pop and crack? You know, you didn't notice. Best compliment you can give these guys. Talk about letting light shine. Scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you can't hear, you know, it affects our ministry. And there are some people sitting here right now who couldn't hear without our sound system. And so they're being salt and light in that way. So you might consider even joining the AV team. How about our greeting and our ushering? It's been said that people, they do research and they figure these things out and statistics surveys and so on. It's been said that people make a decision about whether they're going to come back to church within the first 7 minutes of pulling onto the church property. So the appearance of the building and the grounds is important. The appearance of the parking lot, it's important. The appearance of those who walk into the building when they see the building they see the restrooms, they see the condition of things, they smell, you know, and they're making an opinion about whether they're going to come back or not. And one of the big things is who greets them at the door are the ushers. And that's an important team. And they have an influence here. They're letting their light shine because we want people to attend FBC, to hear about Jesus. They're letting their light shine. You might consider being a part of that team, setting forth that good first impression to be salt and light right here. All aspects of our ministry serve to the end of making disciples. And that's what Jesus commissioned us to do. But again, it's not just about here. It doesn't end here. I'm here to shake you up. This is a training ground. This is a proving ground for you to go out from here as salt and light. Yeah, think about our Truth Seekers, our Kids Club down at the Lincoln Community Center. We have several of our folks who serve every Tuesday during the school year with a Bible club for kids. You know, and down at the Lincoln Community Center, they're in the community ministering Jesus, showing the light of Jesus. I think of our BSA, as Pastor Nate mentioned a little bit earlier, our summer kids program in July. Again, an opportunity. As he said, it's our biggest program of outreach for kids. You can be a part of that. Think about that. Hope Over Heroin in August. There's a tremendous community problem right here, and we've been asked to be a part of that. We've been asked to host a mayor's prayer breakfast in October, a means of doing the same thing, opportunity inviting the community to show them Jesus. So those are, if we could say, programs, but here's, take it just another step. How about neighboring with your neighbor? Summer's a great time to do that. You know, we've already had neighbors. We live right out here connected to the parking lot. We already have neighbors that walk through here. The kids play in the parking lot. And I tell my neighbors, I say, anytime. You can, you want to play basketball, or you want to run your little cars or bicycles or tricycles, or throw a football, whatever. Do it. And it gives me an opportunity, as I have opportunity, to get out there and talk with them. You know, and we invite them to various things. And one day, we're looking for that opportunity to say, hey, you know, we've got something we've got to ask you. You know, we're building those bridges. Have your neighbor over for burgers or dogs. Maybe just watermelon. Get that $3.99 sale watermelon and just say, hey, you know, why don't you guys come over for some watermelon? Or maybe take them brownies or a meal if they're injured or ill. Or just, again, talk with them over the fence. Offer to help them with the wood pile or whatever it might be. Offer to watch their house while they're on vacation or mow their lawn. Those are ways in which you can say, I want to be a light for Jesus. And here's pulling it all together. I want to challenge you to be intentional, be natural as you influence your world for Jesus. Be intentional. I'm going to do this. It's got to be, you got to consciously say, I'm going to let my light shine. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I'm going to let and be natural. You don't have to be weird about it. But you're out there building bridges. You're out there talking to people. You're out there, I want to show them Jesus. Every one of us must be salt and light, so that the world may see, and here it is, the goal in all of this is so that they may praise your Father in heaven. It's not about you. You're not doing this to say, hey, you know, look what I did. Pretty good salt. I'm the most powerful salt. Or I'm the brightest light. No. I want them to see Jesus. I want the world to see Jesus in me. Let's ask for God's help to lift him high. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And here's matters which many people have heard time and again. But we need these reminders and open our eyes to the opportunities to shine as lights, to be salt in a world that needs that. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know how this may have spoken to your heart here today. But I would encourage you to think of how this may be, what this may mean for you specifically, not just generally. I want to encourage you, don't think, I just need to be a better light for Jesus. Or I need to be more salty. No, as you fill out the communication card here in a minute, just think about how can you shine brighter for Jesus specifically, whether it's joining one of the teams at the church or getting involved in one of the community events, or maybe reaching out to your neighbor and just commit yourself, say, and ask for God's help and pray for you. Pray for that in your life. If there's something specific for which you would like us to pray, just check for pastors only. But if there's anyone here who you're not salt, you're not light because you've never trusted Jesus, you may have questions about that or you'd like to take care of that, jot that down as well. Father, we can't do this without your grace. As we take this offering, may we offer our lives to you. May we surrender to you and be willing to be off the shelf and out in the world as salt, to shine brightly as light, and to do so to your glory. Help us in Jesus' name.